Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Have a drink, have a drive. Go out and see what you can find.
Obviously, from a lighter time, to say the least, Mungo Jerry joining us. Your best summer songs, and we've had a wide range. Kid Rock, The Cars, Don Henley, even though the song Boys of Summer technically is about the conclusion of summer. 1:34 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Derek Scott, Brendan Escott. Brendan Escott will join us at 1:45, 1:46. He'll help set up the Edmonton Elks encounter against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Cam Moon in 39 seconds time. As I tell you, Cam Moon's appearance brought to you by our friends at Brentridge Ford. And this is how it's going. It's been an interesting week at Brentridge Ford. Strong message. Two Jeeps are traded in for Broncos. We've got some Hyundais moving for some edges and that sort of thing. Right now, it's an interesting time, to say the least. And you name it, they've got it out at Brentridge Ford, where they've got a terrific service department that's kept families coming back for years and years and years. They've had 11 President's Award winners in a row from Ford for customer satisfaction. If you need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle, or you're looking to trade something in, you can always call Kevin, Margie, or Mike in the maintenance department, repair department, service department, 1-877-477-FORD. That's 1-877-477-FORD. 1-877-477-3673. As we bring aboard Cam Moon. Hello, Cam. How are you?
Doing very well.
Yeah. I'm going out to see Uncle Milt today after the show.
Oh, you're going to have a good time there. Everybody at Brent Ridge is the best.
Well, you know, they're having a problem out there because there are some Calgary Flames fans.
And this has been a problem. Yeah.
This has been a difficult week for them, Cam.
Yeah. You're going to hear all about it, aren't you?
Well, actually, they're going to hear all about it.
Oh, yeah.
The smart aleck that put the Calgary Flames sticker on my gas cap?
Yeah.
Yeah, he in particular is going to be hearing about it at Brent
Ridge Ford. With interest.
Right? Yes.
It'll be paid back with interest.
You know, I got to tell you, though, Cam, in terms of, look, you were in Red Deer all those years. You got friends in the Calgary media, friends in the Edmonton media.
Yep.
You know the two markets. We want the Flames and the Oilers to have as best as possible teams that they can. I am not going to write off Calgary in any way, shape, or form. It's sad that they didn't get anything for, you know, Johnny Goodrow's gone. You kind of took him right to the last moment. That was a little bit surprising. Then we find out that Tkachuk's not going to sign there long term. But Calgary's a well-run organization, Cam. And you know what might end up happening as a result of this is they might end up building a team closer to the template of what Daryl Sutter likes to coach with. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and that's very possible. And when you've got Daryl behind the bench, you got Jacob Markstrom in goal, their D are pretty solid. I know they had some ups and downs and certainly had, you know, some issues containing the Oilers in the last four games of that series. But even losing, well, we think losing two of the top three forwards, they're still going to be a competitive club. And you're right, they can build a little bit more towards the way Daryl likes to coach. So, yeah, I don't doubt they're still going to be a contending team, but it is, you know, it's a tough pill to take when you're losing two players of that magnitude. I mean, they've only lost one so far in Goodrow, but it is trending towards Matthew Tkachuk leaving. But they'll still be competitive. And you're right, it's better when both Alberta teams are going. And we got to see it this year in the playoffs.
Yep.
Like both teams, even who was the second round. So both teams have that momentum of winning around. The southern part of the province is all fired up because they had a good team all year and they were good in the playoffs in that first round, or at least good enough to get by Dallas. And same in Edmonton. Had a good season, able to battle back to beat Los Angeles. So it was a perfect situation. Or the two teams are meeting in the second round. I'd like to see more of that. It was fun to actually have a Battle of Alberta for the first time since 91. It changed up our province. It's, yeah, I hope there's more of it. So I still think Calgary will be competitive, and I'm sure they'll make some moves and add some forwards that, you know, fit in line with what they do. But we're better when both teams are competitive.
We're joined by Cam Moon. Cam, if Matthew Tkachuk gets traded, it'll be the first time in NHL history that an organization's lost a pair of 100-plus point scores in the same offseason. Crazy.
Yeah, that's tough. And honestly, until the announcement came out that Johnny Gaudreau was going to Columbus, I never wavered for a second in thinking that I thought he was going staying with the Flames.
Me too.
I thought he would, I thought he would kick the tires on some teams out east, ultimately get more money from the Flames, which he was going to, and I thought he'd just stay there. So it never entered my mind that he'd leave. So when he did, I was quite surprised. Now with the second shoe about the drop and Matthew Tkachuk, alluding that he doesn't want to stay there long term, that didn't overly shock me given the way the first thing went down.
Cam, you've been doing the games now for the last two seasons, but you've followed the Oilers closely.
Yeah.
Are you the whole Puljujärvi situation here, and look, Puljujärvi and Yamamoto are both restricted free agents. The Oilers qualified them both. In theory, they could both end up going to arbitration. About 90% of potential arbitration cases get settled before they ever end up going to arbitration. How would you, if somebody were to say, Cam, describe to me Puljujärvi in Edmonton, what would you say?
Like how he is.
How he's perceived and the fit and all that.
Well, I would say he's loved. Like, and I know there's his detractors are out there for sure. I mean, find that with every player in every Canadian market. But overall, I would say the fan base loves him. And you see it when he scores a goal at Rogers Place. It goes crazy. And I think there's something to be said for his personality and some of the good natured, wholehearted stuff that he puts out on social media. You can see that, deep down, Puljujärvi is this really good guy. So I would say he's incredibly popular. I can't see the Kyler Yamamoto case going to arbitration. I guess Puljujärvi is certainly possible, but you're right. They usually get worked out before that, and hopefully they do. So both sides don't have to go through that process, because I can't imagine that would be very pleasant from either side. And they get that worked out, and whether it's a sign and trade or whether it's a sign and stay in Puljujärvi's case, I just hope they get that figured out sooner than later.
Now, you told me you were going to do some research on Jack Campbell when we, it was made official that he was coming to town. When you've seen some video of him or watched him in games, as a former goaltender yourself, Cam Moon joining us right now from the Oilers Radio Network. Cam, what do you got? Like, what do you see?
I see some really good things in that his athleticism is very strong, and he has had stretches of play, and I'm basically looking at last season, not so much prior to that, because I want to deal with the here and now, where he got on really good rolls, but had some time where it wasn't as good. So inconsistency is, I would say, something that was, for every goaltender, is something that everybody's always working on and trying to be better at. And I would say in Jack Campbell's case, that would certainly apply. But there's a lot to like. When he had it going well, and in the playoffs, he gave the Leafs a fighting chance. When you got Vasilevsky down at the other end, I mean, you're going to have to really earn your goals for sure. But there's a lot to like. I think about the tandem too, and Stuart Skinner, his next step in his development, and the next step will be playing more games at the NHL level. He got into 13 last year, and we saw a lot of good things, but that continues to develop and played as well as he did with Bakersfield. But Jack Campbell is going to be you want him to be a steady, and I think he can be a steady netminder for Edmonton. And a guy that really wants to be there and be part of this team and part of winning games in Northern Alberta. So, yeah, I think it's a good fit. Both sides seem, really receptive to it. But, from what I was able to watch from last season, I think the good far outweighed the bad.
Cam, favorite summer song?
Ice Cream Man by Van Halen.
Ice Cream Man by Van Halen.
It's from their first album.
Now, are you going to be bringing any ice cream into the studios here over the next couple weeks?
You know I don't have a lot of ice cream in my diet.
You are one skinny guy. Like, I'm telling you, you eat like a bird.
I do.
It's amazing. Like, it's, you know, I can tell you did TV at one time, Cam. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So, no, they probably won't be bringing any ice cream in. So, we'll see.
Well, hopefully I got a show to come back to in 2 weeks' time, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah, as long as I don't put it in the ditch. I'll do my best.
We'll be all right. Don't worry. Thanks, Cam.
Okay, see ya.
144 in Edmonton. Want to mention to you Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 15 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The star for recommendation is the Mediterranean Chicken. Royal Pizza with 15 spots in Edmonton and 4 in Calgary. Reminder, it is Edmonton owned and operated, and everything is real at Royal. 145 in Edmonton, back with NHL today. This day in Oilers history for New West Travel, and Brendan Escott will join us, set up tonight's Elks versus Bombers encounter. You're listening to Oilers Now. 146 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. The Edmonton Oilers on the state back in 1988 traded Jeff Cortnell after the Oilers had won their fourth Stanley Cup in 5 years. They traded Jeff Cortnell to the Washington Capitals for Greg Adams. Cortnell scored 42 goals for the Capitals that season and had multiple 20-plus goal seasons in 8 of his next 10 years. Greg Adams, the not-so-good Greg Adams, he had 9 points in 49 games with Edmonton before being flipped to Vancouver for a minor league trade. By the way, I mean, that was a pretty lopsided trade back in 1988. It was not the biggest trade that was made by Clint Stater in the 1988 offseason. There was a bigger one than that in August. It was a tough day, to say the least. All right, tonight the Edmonton Elks are at it. Brendan Escott, who's a big part of our show here, helps produce Oilers Now, is also pre and post on the Elks broadcast. And is this a David versus Goliath matchup, or are all the Davids currently in the Eastern Conference of the CFL right now?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say this year, as evidenced by the standings. I mean, the Elks have gone out there and taken care of business twice, so you could say that they've elevated themselves up above. And if you check the power rankings, Edmonton's actually, I think they're up to 6 now, so the East has a little bit of work to do, but so did the Elks tonight against the 6-0 Blue Bombers, who just seem to keep ticking along, you know, back-to-back defending Grey Cup champions, and here we are again, undefeated through the first part of the season, and a lot of the same reasons why. You would look to Zach Collaros, who's leading the league in passing at the quarterback position. They're throwing for 347 yards a game, so that's going to have to be really keyed in on by the Elks defense tonight. They'll get a little bit of help back in the defensive secondary. Duron Carter will make his debut for the team. They signed him in the offseason, was expected to play safety.
Was he the guy that played wide receiver for the Riders a few years ago?
You betcha. So yeah. Now they're going to put him. He won't start at safety tonight. Scott Harder's actually been pretty good there, but he will definitely factor in Will Duron Carter. So it'll be interesting to watch that. Raphael Leonard is a guy who's going to play corner tonight as well, though he was a wide receiver on this team. So Chris Jones is dipping into the bag of tricks, Bob, and why not against a team that you're going to have to surprise?
Well, it's interesting with Winnipeg because a lot of people thought there'd be fairly significant defection in the offseason to other CFL organizations, given the success of the Bombers over the last couple of years that, you know, could a couple of their people in assistant GM roles be targeted by other CFL teams? The explanation that was given to me, and this makes sense with every domestic team in league in the world, he who has the best domestic players wins. Is that part of the Bombers' success, as they got better Canadians than everybody else? I guess we call them nationals now in the CFL. Is that part of the factor, do you think, Brendan?
I would say it has something to do with their historical success when you look at Andrew Harris and their running back position in particular. So that was one strength of the team. I don't know that they have any real strong standout Canadians that put them that much over the top. Adam Bighill, I suppose, at the line. I don't think he's a Canadian, though. So They just have a regime in there. They have the same offensive line or defensive line, rather, that has guys like Willie Jefferson and Jackson Jeffcoat, and they just seem to present problems and mismatches all over the football field. So I would say that's the most significant thing.
All right, who's playing quarterback right now for the Elks? Because they've had three different starters so far this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And we're down again to Taylor Cornelius, who last week talk about rising to the occasion, 230 passing yards and leading the 19-point comeback to beat Montreal. And while he didn't connect on every pass, there was quite a few that he put in the neighborhood and drew the pass interference calls on. So we'll see how much trust they have in his arm. He's got all the intangibles, right? I know you probably remember him a little bit anyway from his time at Oklahoma State, and he's got a cannon arm.
He's
and
got last, a hose.
Last week we saw his escapability and some of the mobile nature to his game, and that's a big deal when it comes to this Stephen McAdoo offense, is having a quarterback back that can run a little bit. So
where's Trey Ford at in all this right now?
Trey Ford is on the six-game injured list. Okay. I think it's still... he's on the one-game injured list right now because they're not sure if he would need all six. Okay. Shoulder injury, throwing side.
Okay,
so
that's not good.
Likely, it'll be after the bye week. They wanted to get him at least there and then see where they can reemerge. But Cornelius has been a great stopgap.
Do you get any sense... And look, I know this is your first year doing the pre- and post-game show, Brendan, but do you get a sense there's a little bit like the team struggled so badly at home? Now they've won a couple games, but got to win at home. You know what I'm saying? Do you get a sense that there's a little bit different vibe with Chris Jones running the show right now?
I think that there's a real business-like nature to things with Chris Jones there. Chris Jones brings guys in that, if they don't think like him, they certainly understand how to play for him.
Which is aggressively.
Exactly. Yeah. And the defense has been a big reason why they've been in these couple of games that they've won. And those have been on the road. So take some pride in your own backyard here. And I know that this has been a point of emphasis. And as the season goes along, you figure it's going to be more and more so. Maybe not the easiest opportunity for them to break the 1,000-day curse or slump or whatever you want to call it.
1,000-day curse.
Yeah, it's been over 1,000 days.
Since October they won 12th. At home field at Brickfield. Well,
October 12th of 2019.
Who they beat? Was it Saskatchewan?
BC that night.
They beat BC.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. What time are we beginning with the countdown to the kickoff show?
Well, we're actually at the tailgate party tonight for the kickoff show. That starts at 5:30 here on 6:30 Chad, and then Morley and Dave have the play-by-play call at 7 o'clock.
And you have prearranged interviews, and who's coming on with you at 5:30?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have the Cree language broadcast tonight, so we'll have their broadcasters hop on, tell us a little bit more about that, as well as Ed Jones, alumni from the Eskimos team. Not too tall, that's right, but he is going up on the Wall of Honor, so we'll chat with him as well.
Of course, you old school footballers would remember legendary number 72 for the Dallas Cowboys, Ed Too Tall Jones. He was 6'9". Ed Not Too Tall Jones played for the Eskimos and was part of one of the greatest secondaries of all time that won five consecutive Grey Cups. They alternated between Pete Laverato and Emilio Frieta at safety. Butler and Jones were on the halves, and Hybaugh and Holloman were on the quarters. The linebacking core at that time was Danny Ray Kepley as the middle linebacker. Dale Potter, who was my grade 8 library teacher, that's right, grade 8 library teacher, told me to play hockey. He said, it's ridiculous. You can chuck a football 55 yards in grade 8, but they're never going to let you play quarterback. They're going to put you on the line. Dale Potter and Tom Towns, a converted fullback from the U of A, they were two of the outside linebackers, Danny Ray Kepley in the middle. They had York Henschel on the defensive line. He's since passed away. Dave Fennell, Dr. Death, was on that D-line. Ron Este, the Swamp Dog, who had quite a thick, heavy Cajun accent, was on the D-line as well. David Boone was on the D. He played in the Super Bowl one year for the Minnesota Vikings, and then towards the end of it, James Quick Parker. So that's right on. That's all I got. I could do that from that 82 team, 80-81 team. They were pretty awesome back. Were you born back then, Brendan?
Not even close. Yeah. Sounds like you would have done well in that library class, though.
I would have done well in that library class.
Yeah.
All right. Are you taking next week off?
Yeah, I'm heading overseas, actually. I'll see you on the other side of my Italy trip.
Well, stay out of trouble.
I'll try.
All right, awesome. That's Brendan Escott, and he has The countdown to the kickoff show beginning at 5:30. Morley and Dave with the call. The Edmonton Elks, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers from Brick Field at Commonwealth Stadium. All right, this wraps things up for me. I'm going to tell you that next week, Cam Moon and Cody Jansen have got Oilers Now for you. This really isn't a summer song, but it is more a song that always makes you appreciate things a little bit. Hey, it's been 49 straight weeks. Love the combination of the roles. Hope you, if you do get some time off over the next couple of weeks, you enjoy things. Again, Cam Moon and Cody will have things for you next week. Brendan comes back, and we'll be working with Cam and Cody the week after, and we'll rejoin you at some point in August. Up next, a global news weather traffic update with Kevin Robertson, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, then the 6:30 Chet Afternoons with Jaylen Nye. Special thanks to Brendan S. Scott and Derek Scott for helping us out here in Oilers Now. So long, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.